Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of The Hot Corner. My name is Courtney Colabro. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at 1-800-COLABRO. I am joined by my friends Dante and JR Solito, Young Mikey in the Cut. You can follow them at October's Own Tay on Twitter, not Instagram. If you need to find him, he will find you first. And at JR underscore Solito is where you can find our boy Mikey on Twitter. I don't want to speak for him on Instagram. That is up for him to decide. You can also, of course, follow us and all of our content at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and Instagram. How we doing, guys?
We good, man. Feels good to be recording a little earlier in the day.
I'm about to say, I'm doing a lot better than the Atlanta Braves right now.
Hey.
Other than that, I really cannot complain.
Hey, listen, we'll take that.
They're about to get right now, though. They got in that White Sox bullpen. They got in that White Sox bullpen.
How many games back in the East are the Braves right now? Like 8.5?
The last time I checked, it was 8.
Well, there's not that many good teams in the National League right now. So.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they'll make a wild card.
Yeah, they got the stranglehold on that first wild card spot, probably.
Yeah. But it's disappointing because you got to know, like, it's been 6 straight division titles. I really wanted to see them tie the 10 that they got in the 90s. Like, and it might be crazy that, you know, just like in the 90s, they're going to end up with one World Series, and that's it. So,
yep. And
very,
to me,
very solid bunch.
Facts. And to me, it goes into that whole, yes, people love to say baseball. It's only April. It's only May. No, everything starts. It all counts how you start off. I mean, we look at the Phillies getting off to this crazy start. Last year, they were kind of, you know, in the middle of the pack, kind of like how the Braves were the year before. They had to fire Joe Girardi in order for them to take off. And, I mean, you're seeing it right now with, you know, a team like the Chicago Cubs. They started off kind of hot, and then if it wasn't for that hot start right now, they legitimately would be probably the second worst team in baseball next to the Chicago White Sox.
Which is wild that a city like Chicago has not only one but two just mediocre baseball teams at the moment. That's super disappointing. I did want to get into some unfortunate news for those of you who do know. We lost a legend a couple of weeks ago. Willie Mays passed away on June 18th at the age of 93. We did lose a legend, and I would be remiss if I didn't remark on some of the incredible accomplishments that Willie Mays had. And listen, it's a long list, okay? But I'm just going to share a few things. He was the only player to have 50 homers and triples, 20 triples in a season. He also received MVP votes every single season from 1954 to 1966. He had at least 70 extra base hits in 13 straight seasons, 18 All-Star games, the most of any player in Major League Baseball history, 12 gold gloves, the most of any center fielder. He's the only player in Major League Baseball history with at least 3,000 hits, a 300 career average, 300 home runs, and 300 stolen bases. And just to put into context how much power this man had, he had 17 20 home run seasons, 11 30 home run seasons, 6 40 home run seasons, and 2 50 home run seasons. So, rest in peace to an absolute legend of the game. Dare to say that we would not have it nearly the amount of Black American players as we do in this game without him. That being said, with his loss, you know, someone now kind of has to take the throne, so to speak, of who the greatest living player is. It was Willie, and now he gets to chill in the hall with the heavens and you know, all the greats. What do you guys think? Who is now the greatest living player?
I mean, it's a lot of people we could talk about. And even, like, I think for the sake of this conversation, I'm taking all of the extra shit out of it. So I'm going to just be honest. It's his godson. Like, it's Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds is the greatest living baseball player I know. We still got a couple old heads that are still alive that, you know, are really great. But I think in terms of totality and everything he did, even before the physique change, you can't say it's not Barry fucking Bonds, bro. I mean, he won MVPs in the 80s, 90s, 2000s. Well, not 80s, I'm sorry, the 90s, 2000s. It's just 7 MVPs is unheard of. Like you said, the only other guy to do it is Roger Clemens. And, you know, he has a similar stain on his resume. But next level, bro. Like, as much as I want to say King Griffey, I think just no matter his rep, I think A-Rod is in the conversation based off everything he did. But I think it's I got to go with Barry Bonds.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. For me, it's easy. It's Barry Bonds. I mean, you're talking about an eight-time Gold Glove winner. You're talking about somebody that won the National League MVP four consecutive years in a row as a designated hitter. You know, when you look at his career, obviously it's mired in a lot of controversy because of the alleged, you know, steroid enhancement use. But he was on a Hall of Fame trajectory, was a Hall of Fame player back when he was – you know, weighing my weight, you know, playing in Pittsburgh. So it's remarkable what type of player he is. It's remarkable what he accomplished in his career. I would definitely go Barry Bonds. I know there's a lot of people that like to go to Sandy Koufax and all of that, and I'm just not buying that. I mean, you know, even if you just want to get down to the brass tack, Sandy Koufax doesn't even have more wins than Pedro Martinez, you know? So, like, I can't honor certain statistics that a lot of the baseball purists like to use in their arguments. I think it's all very nostalgia based just because they were young at that point in time. That's who they remember as being the GOAT. But and we know their thought process and how they feel, their sentiments towards that era of baseball player in the late 90s, early 2000s. So, you know, there's some shade there, but it's Barry Bonds. Me personally, my favorite baseball player of all time. I saw a tweet earlier today. Somebody said, who's your favorite baseball player of all time and then your current favorite player? And my favorite baseball of all time is Alex Rodriguez. And that is somebody that can, you know, go down as one of the greatest shortstops ever. And then, you know, being able to convert to third base, like when you really look down at it, Alex Rodriguez is a fucking beast. So, you know, I'm going to go with Barry Bonds. I don't care about any of the other stuff that might cloud his reputation. It's sad that we might not see that person ever be inducted into Cooperstown, but we all saw it. We know it. That's the reason why a lot of us, and especially in our age group, are fans of baseball. And we saw it there. You know, for the people growing up in the 90s that saw Michael Jordan play, for the people that got to see, you know, Elway, Dan Marino, you know, a lot of those people, they hold that certain nostalgia. And for us, it's really Barry Bonds. How could it not be? He did some shit that we will never see again and haven't seen since.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Before you go, Courtney,
what were you gonna say?
I'm not trying to be funny, but I didn't know Sandy was still with us. Serious.
I did not know. I'm gonna be honest with you. Who's even checking for Sandy Koufax right now?
Don't be disrespectful. Do not be disrespectful. Absolutely not. I rebuke.
Is he better than Kershaw? Is he better than Kershaw? Can we go there?
Kershaw's better.
Yes, absolutely. We can go there. Sandy Koufax has gone on record as saying that he thinks Clayton Kershaw is better than he was. But Clayton Kershaw.
No. Well, no. Yeah, that's what we're saying. We're saying it's Kershaw.
He was like, because he looks up to Sandy Koufax, obviously.
Right.
So, no, you know,
that's what we're saying.
Spider-Man in situations. Yeah. For me, of course, I got to agree with you guys. It's Barry Bonds. Now, if I'm thinking greatest living pitcher, what are your thoughts, guys? Greatest living pitcher.
Pedro Martinez. Final answer. Pedro was a fucking wizard, bro. Like, and like, not only that, one thing I loved about Pedro, and my
this
big
is
thing
Andy
is somebody
Johnson
who.
Erasure.
He's close. But with Pedro, and it's the same thing with both of them, honestly, the intimidation factor, you don't get that much these days. Like, where a guy comes up there, it's like, okay, you want to crowd the plate? I'm going to go high and tight. Then I'm going to come back and throw a changeup low and outside. Then I'm going to blow you away. Like, he was a real pitcher. Like, he was out there like they say, an artist, bro. Painted, yeah. Like, 96 on the black.
I didn't
like,
get in talking about Pedro Martinez. This is lovely.
Bro, like, Pedro Martinez, like, that's my goal in terms of pitchers. Like, without a question, bro. Like, Pedro was a fucking dog. Second for me is Greg Maddux. Like, that's another guy who was an artist, bro. But, like,
yep.
Those
for
are
sure. Just there. Right. Just based off the sheer fact that he was never bringing it velocity wise as, you know, some of his counterparts, somebody like a Pedro. I will go Pedro. I would go Pedro, man. Pedro is a fucking dog. Like you said, he pitched to all four quadrants. And with him, like, that is the art of pitching. It's just that intimidation factor and being able, like you said, I'm going to come in, throw 95, 96. high and tight, then I'm going to come and work your way. Once I go all the way up tight on you, I'm not going to hit you, but you're already thinking about that. You're already shook. Now I'm going to start, you know, making you get out of your comfort zone. So Pedro Martinez for me, and then, you know, in current baseball, you know, Clayton Kershaw is up there for sure, definitely.
Yeah.
Respect the GOAT.
I would say Kershaw's no hitter, man.
You're right. Kershaw's no hitter?
Yeah. Against the Padres.
No way, really?
Yep. I was there. I still got the ticket stub around here somewhere, but
I was there. I had no idea. You're going to have to tell me about that another time. I would like to hear more about that. Moving on to some modern legends and modern legends in the making. We are just about 2.5 weeks out of the All-Star game, which is being held this year in the home of the World Series champions from 2023, the Texas Rangers Ballpark, Globe Life Field. Yep, got to make sure you remember that every chance you get, you know. Humble
2005 you. 2005 was a long time ago, so I get it, man. Talk this shit.
Very long time ago. But in light of that All-Star game that we got coming on, I just wanted to, one, take a look at some of these voting totals. You know, they released the most recent count as of June 24th. So I just kind of wanted to visit some of the current totals and then, you know, see who we think, in your opinion, probably deserves to make the All-Star game that likely won't. So in the National League, the top vote getter right now is someone who I think absolutely deserves to have the starting spot, and that is William Contreras with the Brewers, followed by JT Realmuto, Will Smith, Sean Murphy of the Braves, and his brother, Wilson Contreras of the Cardinals, who, you know, they must have thought that they were voting for William, because I have no explanation for why Wilson should sniff the All-Star game, but I digress. For first baseman, currently in first place is Bryce Harper, followed by Freddie Freeman, Matt Olson, Pete Alonso, and Jake Cronenworth. Second base, Ketel Marte leading it off, Luis Arraez, Bryson Stott, Ozzie Albies, and Bryce Turang finishing it off in the top five. Third baseman, Alec Bohm, Manny Machado, Joey Ortiz, Max Muncy, Austin Riley, rounding out the top five third basemen. Shortstops, we got Mookie, Trey Turner, Ellie De La Cruz, Willie Adames, and Orlando Arcia, which that's funny for a multitude of reasons. We can get into that in a little bit. At the DH spot, of course, Shohei Ohtani is blowing Marcelo Ozuna out the water right now. Shohei Ohtani has nearly 1.8 million votes almost to Marcelo Ozuna's 940,000, followed by Kyle Schwarber, Rhys Hoskins, Donovan Solano. And then the outfield is just, I mean, it's kind of an embarrassment of riches. And I feel bad for some of the Padres who really have been, you know, carrying the freight this season that are probably not going to get that call. But leading it off, we have Jerickson Profar, Christian Yelich, Teoscar Hernandez, Fernando Tatis Jr., and Brandon Marsh rounding out the top five outfielders for the National League. So my question for y'all is, who do you think, obviously we kind of probably know who's going to get the start, but who do we think is going to get snubbed that doesn't deserve to be snubbed?
Go ahead, Mike.
I'm going to go with somebody in the AL Central, and I think Seth Lugo. I think Seth Lugo is somebody who might go ahead and get snubbed. He's having an outstanding year with the Kansas City Royals. He's really kind of been, he's their number two behind Cole Ragans. But when you look at starting pitchers that should make it in the AL, it's kind of top heavy. You have Tarik Skubal, who will more than likely be starting that game. And, you know, even though he's had two very bad outings, Luis Hill from the New York Yankees will get in. Then when you just look at Garrett Crochet, you look at some of these starters in the AL starting pitching wise, where is there room for Seth Lugo when somebody like Cole Ragans will probably get in as being the ace for the Royals? Because you're looking at about 5 to 6 relievers who have a legitimate worthy claim to be in the bullpen for the AL. When you got guys like Mason Miller, you got Clay Holmes, you got Duran, you got Emmanuel Clase. So it's not the sexy pick as it's.
Doesn't Clay Holmes have isn't he like top five in blown saves in Major League Baseball? I'm not trying to be funny. I'm so dead ass.
No, I don't know. I could double check on that. I know he was pretty lights out. I don't remember the Yankees blowing a lot of games late. That bullpen.
I think I'm probably misremembering.
Yeah. But so I think somebody like Seth Lugo. And then, you know, I'll give you one more player. I think Rafael Devers. Rafael Devers is kind of, he was injured kind of to start the year, you know, coming back. And, you know, when you look at third base right now, it's Jose Ramirez's job. And then you have a young buck in the AL East and Jordan Westberg, who's getting a lot of votes. He's producing on the second best team in the AL. And they're going neck and neck with the Yankees. So somebody like Rafael Devers just might not make it, you know, from a position standpoint. And that's somebody who I feel like every year should be penciled into third base. You know, whether it's him or Jose Ramirez, they should consistently be swapping who is starting, you know, at third base for the American League. So I think that's a familiar bat that baseball fans are aware of and an impact bat that we probably won't be seeing this summer down in Arlington.
Also, for context, I was correct. He is actually tied with 9 other players. There's 7 other players that have 5 blown saves, but he does have 4, and he's tied with 9 other relievers for the most blown saves.
When you're tied with 9 other people, you know, you just
I know.
Then it goes to the popular pick, like, oh, he's on the Yankees and they got the best record. Those 4 blown saves don't matter.
Correct. But yeah, what do you think, Dante? I have my thoughts. Mine are, I know Mikey got a little excited. He was so excited to talk about the White Sox that he jumped right to American League. But we can just go both leagues. Who do you think is going to get snubbed?
Believe it or not, like you said, my biggest, the outfield in the National League is stacked. Like, it's a lot of good players. And I think Fernando Tatis is going to get snubbed. I don't think he's going to be down in Arlington. And, you know, he's somebody, like you said.
I don't need him there.
It's crazy. This is one of the people where, you know, we talk about Jazz Chisholm and like how they pushed him. Like before the PED shit, like Fernando was the guy. Like he was, you know, the let the kids play. Like he has swagger. We love it. We love the Euro step around third base. But, you know, just the entire conversation around him has changed. And I think, you know, that's going to hurt him because he has been having a good season out there in San Diego. And, you know, people have pretty much been
15-game hitting streak in the middle of June, was batting over 4-something. Like, he was looking like him. But I think, like you said, that PED shit is kind of tart. That ringworm boy is what they're calling him in the group chat. Ringworm boy.
You call that man ringworm boy?
That's what he claimed he had. Yeah.
The silliest shit ever. But another one, I think, and this is more so from a fan standpoint, because I think this is somebody the fans would really want to see. There's too many good shortstops for Ellie to make the team. I'm sorry. Like, he's not going to make the All-Star team just yet. Like, I understand the speed, the power, everything we see with him, the excitement. That's a guy who's built for the All-Star game. I think, you know, I have my gripes with the All-Star game being on a fucking Tuesday as opposed to actually them taking over a weekend. But that's baseball in a nutshell. But I think a guy like Ellie would, especially, like, imagine Ellie in the Home Run Derby. Like, you know, that's a guy that's going to put on a fucking show. So
that's
I think
Game of Thrones. That's some Game of Thrones foreshadowing right there, Dante.
Yeah, no, definitely 100%.
But let me ask you this, Dante, because you said Ellie in that shortstop position that NL is loaded. How do you feel about somebody like Trey Turner possibly being in there, considering he just missed 6 fucking weeks?
That would be so messed up.
I don't like it, but I mean, that's the way they allow the voting. Yeah, it is what it is. Like, I think if you had a
I don't think they should allow fans to vote on injured players. I think that's
put that clause in there, period. Like, if you've been injured X amount of games, you just don't qualify for the All-Star game. You can come to All-Star weekend, but in terms of
my only gripe with the one guy that I think is going to get robbed, and I don't think he deserves to get robbed, and that's Stephen Kwan. He's only played 52 games this season. But the man has been absolutely lights out. Yeah. 377 batting average, highest in Major League Baseball right now. A 988 OPS and 7 home runs over that stretch. So, like, I know people want to say that, oh, he's not, you know, I'm not asking him to be in the Home Run Derby, but I do think he deserves to be. He's got some elite speed, in my opinion. I think he deserves to be in that right field.
Yeah,
definitely. No, I agree with you. He's having a crazy year. But, you know, they'll get their representation from a Jose Ramirez and an Emmanuel Clase. So, like, they're not going to send 3 Guardians there. They'll send 3 Yankees. They'll probably send maybe three Orioles, but they're not going to send three Cleveland Guardians, unfortunately.
Were you going to say something, Dante?
No, I saw you.
Oh, no, no. So actually, speaking of the Guardians, and it just comes to my mind because I'm thinking about the home run derby now, who, you know, that's always kind of a mixed bag of nuts just because you're probably going to get the obvious guys that are going to participate in the derby, like the Pete Alonzos and the Vladdies of the world. My question for you is, who would you guys like to see in the derby? Speaking of Cleveland, I want to see Josh Naylor hit bombs. I want to see him hit absolute piss missiles in that ballpark. I would love to see it. Also, JD Martinez, he's getting fucking old. We've never seen him in a home run derby. He's like 37, bro. The time is ticking. When are we gonna do it? When are we getting it?
I'm kind of with you, but I'm gonna kind of go towards Dante's question because I had these two circles. I would like to see both of the Cruz shortstops from the NL Central get in. I would like to see O'Neill Cruz.
Put them in the same seating.
I would love to see that. I want to see people that hit absolute fucking nukes. Mookie Betts, I love you. Hit amazing home runs in game. I do not want to see that type of player. I want to see people that are batting 200, 205. I want to see the Kyle Schwarbers batting 197, hitting balls 475 feet fucking far. So I hear you on the Josh Naylor. That was somebody on my list. I would like to see somebody like Marcell Ozuna, because Marcell Ozuna has a lot of power, and being that he is leading the NL or was, I think Otani might have passed him. He can hit the shit out of a ball, especially in that ballpark. The way the way the camera angles are set up in that ballpark, every bomb, every ball, every home run looks like a fucking bomb. So I would like to see that. So I'm with the Cruz brothers, and I would like to see somebody like Ozuna there.
No, yeah, I feel you. I think the Major League Baseball needs a rejuvenation for the home run derby, similar to the way we talk about the dunk contest. And I think one way to do that, the simplest way to do that, is get the biggest names in that bitch. Like, I want Shohei. I want Aaron Judge. I want these sluggers. Like, the same way, like, when we were shorties and when they went up to Milwaukee and Sammy Sosa put on a fucking show and was hitting balls out of the ballpark. Like, I want that. I want them to open up the windows at Globe Life, and I want shit flying everywhere. And so I think the best way to do that.
I'm letting you know that now. That is not happening. It is going to be.
Yeah.
Fucking today is 100 with the humidity at 76%. It feels like 110. I'm not going outside.
That's even crazy. At nighttime, because like the derby's usually at like 7, like something like
the
that.
The sun
like,
is
night,
still out and you're getting baked. Like from where Arlington is, that sun is coming right in there. You're gonna fry alive in that ballpark.
How do you all feel about maybe going forward a league mandate that the top three hitters, as long as they're healthy, the top three home run leaders in each league are mandatory. They have to participate.
See, I don't like the idea of having it be mandatory just because we have seen the derby kind of mess with guys' swings. And like, again, if we're thinking long term, maybe not great. I know they obviously are incentivizing them by paying. It's what, $1 million is the prize now. Listen, I get it.
In a truck or some shit.
Hell yeah. That's a great prize for guys like that don't make Aaron Judge money, you know, but for the dudes that are already making that money, that's not a great incentive. So for me to want to go in there and mess with my swing, you know, trying to just hit for power, I don't know how I feel about making it mandatory, but that's just me.
No, I think it should be mandatory just because I'm all for, you know, entertaining the fans. And this is your weekend to entertain the fans. So it's like, if you got to give them a little bit of bonus or something, just a little incentive to come do it, I would be fine. But another thing I think about the derby more than anything, bro, we need to switch back to the old format. Like, I as much as people want to have the brackets, I hate that shit. Like, especially seeing it live, because that derby last year in Seattle, it was no
way.
You
got robbed of some great matchups because dudes were getting knocked out in the first
round.
You're absolutely right.
And when I saw Adley switch sides, and he's hitting bombs from both sides of the plate, and he doesn't make it to the next round. I was pissed. Like, I was in the press box pissed. Like, this is bullshit.
But Luis Robert got him up out of there. 472 feet. That's another person I would love to see, just because we know that he can hit absolute fucking bombs. But no, I agree with you. I agree with you. The seeding. Hold on. Back to my rant. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. should not be in the All-Star game. He is not an all-star by numbers. I do not think it's fair that an entire country gets to vote for this man to be the representative for first base in the all-star game when his numbers are not there. It's like a participation trophy. So that's my all-star game rant. It's just the voting process. Oh, and one more. Just go back to letting them wear their uniforms and throw like a nice little patch on the hat. Like all of these every year, these new jerseys and the different color, like they're ass. They haven't made a fire all-star game jersey in years.
For context, I do think that the entirety of Canada has less people than the state of California. I'm just saying. I just work here.
He's still huff though.
he's still huff, and they got one baseball team. But they do that every year. They do that in the NBA. They were thirsty to send Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry. Like it's every year that entire country shows out. That
Toronto representation.
Nah, man, nah. We do not. They should be.
Drake might have a lot to say about that if one of them doesn't make it.
Drake don't even watch baseball. But no, I think this is going to be an interesting home run derby. I mean, I would like to see if somebody like Gunnar Henderson is going to perform. I actually would like to see if one of the three from the home ballpark join, whether Seager, Simeon, or Adolis Garcia, because I think it's always cool like when you get representation.
I would like to see Yordan Alvarez.
Yordan is a beast.
I would like to see Yordan Alvarez for sure. Other guys I would like to see specifically from the National League. I guess you could say a little quiet, but he was a top prospect at one point who is now absolutely mashing he was missed what, like 2 months of the season, and he is back dominating behind the plate for your New York Mets, Francisco Alvarez. If they would let him participate, that would be an elite addition. But, you know, that ain't gonna happen.
Speaking of an oft-injured player with extreme power and all he does is hit fucking nukes, and I have him written down here on my list, Royce Lewis. I would love to see Royce Lewis, former number one overall pick. He's obviously torn both ACLs, but every time he comes in, all he fucking does is hit bombs. He's got 35 to 40 home runs in his bat every single season as long as he can be on the field. I would like to see him, you know, as long as healthy. In the home run derby. And I think also, you know, we go back to the All-Star game. There's some big stars that are having big years that are going to be out of this game, just mandatory off of injury. Tatis is injured. So even though, like you said, that the outfield is deep, he's injured.
He hurt? Fuck.
Yeah. He's on the IL with an elbow and a quad injury. He kind of ran into the
broken, man.
Yeah, but, you know, he plays reckless in right field, and he kind of was going into chasing a kind of like a foul ball and hit the wall kind of funny. So Tatis is out. Probably Mookie is out. Obviously, JT Realmuto is out. So there's going to be some guys that are going to be out. You know, Giancarlo Stanton would have been amazing in the home run derby. We know he's out. So I think it's going to be interesting to see who can stay on the field and produce, you know, or going into the season, going into the All-Star game, the Cubs were pretty much sure that they were going to be sending Shota Imanaga and Javier Assad as pitching representatives, the only two representatives for the Cubs on the All-Star game. And Javier Assad just went on the IL with forearm strain. They said that he's been fine on actual days, but in between, it's the in-between starts where his arm is just basically kind of dead. That's another person that's been converted from reliever to now starting and throwing minutes, and he was pitching his ass off. So, you know, we're kind of seeing a lot of injuries here. Then from just a starting pitching standpoint, this isn't our typical All-Star game. You know, we're not getting Verlander, Scherzers, Garrett Cole, Clayton Kershaw's in the All-Star game this year.
It's Kyle Tucker season. Let's go.
He's hurt too.
Listen, it should be Stephen Kwan season, but, you know.
Kyle Tucker's out too.
Josh Smith for ALDH, who says no?
We do.
No.
Nelson Peters, that's crazy. All right, time to break out the diamond tester. This is my personal favorite subject because I like to analyze whether teams that have been on heaters are for real or if they're fake. I would like to know, this week's team under the microscope are the New York Mets, who are on an insane tear right now. They have a 10-3 record through their last 13 games, 24 team homers in their last 10 games, 51 extra base hits. And since being swept by the Dodgers and dropping to a season worst 11 games under 500 on May 29th, the Mets have gone 17-6 and are back at 500 as of today for the first time in 50 days. Mikey, I want to go to you first. Do you think the Mets are real or are they fake? Also, before you answer, I would like to go on record as saying that when we had this discussion before the season started, I said my two teams that we should not sleep on are the Royals and the Mets. That's all I got. Thank you so much for listening.
No, you did. You did. Don't forget we said the Astros will die. It's been they've been on life support. So every week I'm kind of riding that roller coaster of, oh, they're out of it. Oh, they're back in.
I need the Mariners to stop pissing away games. And win.
Very true. And actually put up like some actual runs. Yes. But I would say right now, I think they're for real. Just because of they're for real in the sense of getting that third wild card spot. I think they're in prime position to get the third wild card spot. Like we mentioned on the last episode, that was a team that was looking to be sellers. You had bats that would have been going for a premium on the market, such as JD Martinez, you know, and then you go ahead and have Pete Alonso, who's going into his free agency year. But now you can't justify moving off of those guys. So right now where they currently stand, they are third in the National League wild card hunt. So they would be getting that third spot. Or they're actually fourth. They're a game and a half back behind San Diego, St. Louis, and ATL. I think San Diego and St. Louis are kind of going to have to ride that roller coaster. Manny Machado's having a down year. The Padres pitching hasn't been as nails as we expected. I know Dylan Cease threw a gem the other day against the Nationals, but you know, before that they were giving up 11 runs to the Nationals. So I think the Mets are there. They sit at 39-39. I believe they should be getting Kodai Senga back. So I think that they have the potential there. Francisco Lindor is starting to hit again. It's getting warm. He's starting to hit. You know, Francisco Alvarez has been an absolute revelation. He's being what they expected him to be as a cornerstone catcher for them. He had an amazing night against the Yankees yesterday. Two-run homer. Then he had another double, three-run double. I think he had about six RBIs. So I think that the Mets are for real. Behind them, you have teams such as Arizona, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Nationals, Reds, Cubs. I don't see any of those teams being for real. So as long as they can stave off, you know, kind of those long, prolonged losing streaks and they can continue to at least take two games in a series or split with teams, they should be there for that third wild card spot at the end of the year.
Yeah, just piggybacking off of what you said, Mikey, Francisco Alvarez over his last eight games, 34 plate appearances, 556, 647 slash line, and 1,037 OPS, just to be clear. Four doubles, three home runs, just absolutely insane. Insane tear right now. He is proving himself to be the prospect, the number one prospect that he once was. Good for them. And also, everyone was shitting on David Stearns, kind of wondering why he didn't go for Blake Snell, why he didn't go for Jordan Montgomery. I remember Mets fans being very mad that they went for Seve and for Manaea. And I was even wondering if Severino was going to try to maybe get his groove back. And he's been okay. I have not been disappointed by Luis Severino as the last couple of weeks. So good for them.
Yeah, I mean,
Sean Manaea, out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, as much as it pains me to say it, you know, I think the Mets are for real, and I think this is one thing we talk about every season with the NL East, that you know, this division, you'll have a team that seems dead. You know, the last few years it was the Phillies. They seem like they dead and out of it, and then they come back and they make a run, and they, you know, they end up in a wild card or whatever. So I agree, and like this team is a team where if certain players they can make additions without actually giving away anything, without making an actual move. They can make some just internal improvements that can really help this team. And one of them, of course, is Edwin Diaz. You know, we saw him get thrown out of the game for the sticky substance on his hand, which he lied and said was rosin and sweat. And it's like, come on, bro. It looks like you just wiped shit on your hand. Like, you can't be serious right now. But if he can get it together, I think that helps shore up that bullpen. And I think, you know, like you said, with Francisco Lindor, who I feel like he gets a lot of criticism every season, and then you look up and he has like a 4-5 WAR at the end of the year. So
which it's,
like,
it's always so undeserved, because I
can't every time
anyone like less problematic than freaking Mr. Smiles, bro. Like, he always looks so nice. He's very good about like responding to the media, even on down days. I don't know why we like shit on, not we, but like people shit on Francisco Lindor so much. I love that man.
It's because people pocket watch. It's because they see the money and they, oh, he's not living up to it. Francisco Lindor is one of the top shortstops in the games. People forget about him.
Not living up to it. Dansby Swanson's making the same fucking money as Bryce Harper. And one of these things is not like the other.
Yeah. No, for sure. Dansby Swanson is, I won't say it because I don't want to get certain people in trouble on this show, but Dante knows what I'm talking about. Dansby Swanson is the definition of the diamond tester going to the maximum. He was never fucking that. But no, I think Lindor, you know, and what Lindor provides as a switch hitter, you know, it's crazy because even though he bats primarily lefty, his power from the right side is really his strongest attribute. So he plays good defense. One person that's kind of fallen off that I never expected is like Jeff McNeil. He's not really
terrible.
He's been terrible. He's been bad, but you know who's been good? Starling Marte. Starling Marte still gets on base, can still play, you know, really good defense.
Well, that's he's got,
yeah, he's got pop in that bat, and as long as he's healthy, those hamstrings are good, then, you know, he's bringing them a different dynamic. So I think the Mets are legit, like I said, in that wild card spot. Now let's see if somebody like Steve Cohen, who we know was talking about tearing down, let's see if he wants to buy. Let's see if he's somebody that's going to go ahead and open up that, you know, that check. You know, somebody like him with all that bread, like he's just Apple Paying. Like he's, I'm going to Apple Pay for this starting pitcher. So let's see if he adds.
I agree. I think he will, because like we said, I think they're legit. But at the same time, when you look at their numbers on their face, it's a lot of mid that's just working well together. Like the highest OPS on the team. The highest OPS on the team is 793. So it's like they're not, you know, just crushing the ball. They're just playing good team baseball right now. So I think this is a team that, you know, everybody balked at them tearing it down and like cutting costs. But when you are that rich, you could cut costs and run it right back. So, you know, you can adjust on the fly. And so with him seeing the success he wanted to see from some of the guys he has on the roster already, I agree. I think the Mets are definitely a team that we should look at headed into the trade deadline.
And y'all should definitely be afraid of David Stearns in the NL East for years to come, because that man, he can make some good moves, some great moves. Alex Anthopoulos, count your days. I lied. but. Oh, all right. Well, that is today's edition of the Hot Corner, assuming Dante and Mikey don't have anything else they want to add to the conversation. Last thoughts, gentlemen?
I just need the Braves to score some fucking runs against the White Sox. Like, you're getting shut out 1-0 on a bullpen game on a day where the White Sox started Chad Kuhl. You have zero runs. Chris Sale, 9 Ks right now, dealing. Only mistake was a Luis Robert home run that he, a slider that he went out and got. But yeah, outside of that, you know, baseball has been hasn't been that kind to me at the books. I'll say that.
Well, when you've only got like 6 teams and 8 teams in both divisions that are above 500, what do you expect, right? We're in the dog days of summer,
guys. You know what this is reminding me of? This is reminding me very much of the last few NFL seasons. Like the parity across the board.
Correct.
There's a bunch of 9-8 teams out there.
Well, who cares when your team can lose and you can still get paid? That's Major League Baseball, baby. Well, that is all we got for y'all this week. You can find me again on Twitter and Instagram at 1-800-CALLABRO. Dante at OctoberZante on Twitter, not Instagram. Do not find him. He will find you. And Mikey at JR_Solito on all social media platforms. Make sure that you subscribe to the Barber's Chair Network Patreon at patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, subscribe to us on YouTube. You know where to find us. My name is Courtney. Got Dante and Mikey signing off over here. Until next time, guys.
Peace.